This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله سابغ النعم وخالق الإنسان من بعد العدم فالحمد ثم الحمد ثم الحمد لك حمدا كثيرا طيبا يا رب لك أعطيتنا خيرا كثيرا ربنا سترت عن كل الورى عيوبنا ثم الصلاة بعد والتسليم على النبي المصطفى الكريم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you to another episode of our fascinating series towards understanding Surah Yusuf. This is your host, Yasir Qadhi. We're about to reach the climax of the story, and that is the reunion of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam with his father. He has invited his father and his family back into Egypt. So today's episode, we will talk about the conclusion of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam with his father. Please stay with us.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to another episode of our series towards understanding Surah Yusuf. In our last episode, we had discussed the incident in which the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam gave his shirt to the brothers and said, "Go back to my father and throw the shirt into his face, his sight will return back to him. And bring me your families here into Egypt." So in today's episode, we come to the conclusion of the story of Yusuf and the reunion with his father Ya'qub. There are still some verses left which we will discuss in our next and final episode, but today is the episode in which the story itself concludes. And as usual, we will begin with a recitation of the pertinent verses. So I ask my viewers to follow along the recitation. If they have a Quran with them, that would be great. And today we will recite from verse 99 to verse 104.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أبويه وقال ادخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمنين ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا وقال يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل وقال يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي إن ربي لطيف لما يشاء إنه هو العليم الحكيم رب قد آتيتني من الملك وعلمتني من تأويل الأحاديث فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ أجمعوا أمرهم وهم يمكرون وما أكثر الناس ولو حرصت بمؤمنين وما تسألهم عليه من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين.
So in this segment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with the return of Ya'qub and entering in upon Yusuf alayhi salam. So we can imagine that Ya'qub and all of the family of Ya'qub. And it is estimated by the historians, and again, as we said in a previous episode, that these numbers and details that are not found in the Quran and Sunnah, we may quote them, but we have to realize that their source of authenticity is doubtful. We don't know for sure whether it happened or not, but there is no harm in quoting them, because our Prophet ﷺ said, you may narrate from the other sources of the Jews and Christians without any problem, but also remember, other scholars tell us that remember that if anything contradicts the Quran and Sunnah, we have to reject it. So there were around 70 people. In other words, Ya'qub's 12 sons had so many grandsons and great-grandsons that the entire tribe was around 70 people. So they entered in upon Yusuf. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى Yusuf. When they entered in to Yusuf, أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. He brought his parents close to him. He must have hugged them. He must have greeted them with the greatest respect. Finally, after 30, 40 years, we don't know exactly how long, but almost a lifetime has gone. And the last time that Ya'qub has seen his son was when he was just a small lad of 6, 7 years old. And now he is seeing his son as the minister of Egypt, as the finance minister, as a rich and powerful and a full-grown man. He must have had his own children. He must have had his own house is there. And so he is seeing his son after such a long time. So Allah says, أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. He hugged his parents and brought him close to himself. وَقَالَ دَخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. And he said, enter in into Egypt, the land of Egypt. Enter into Egypt, inshaAllah, in a state of security and peace. I am the minister here. I will make sure that everything is comfortable for you. So this was the point in time when Ya'qub and the children of Ya'qub, and Ya'qub's title was Israel, remember? So when Bani Israel left Palestine and they came to Egypt, and we will talk about this in a little while, what happened to them after that in a very brief setting. So Allah says, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And he raised his parents on the throne. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they then all fell into prostration in front of him. So the first thing that Yusuf alayhi salam did, he honored his parents. He showed respect to his parents. He raised his parents on the throne. So he put his parents on the throne of the kingdom because obviously he is the minister, he has access to the throne, or maybe he himself had a throne as the minister. So he put his parents there as a sign of respect. Now once again we say, when Allah says his parents, it could be his father and his mother's sister, because some people say that the mother had passed away, and it could be his actual parents. And the reason this is allowed is because the Prophet ﷺ said, the mother's sister is like the mother. Al-khalatu bimanzilatil the mother's sister is like the mother. So he raises his parents on the throne. So the first thing that Yusuf does, he shows his parents respect. He shows his parents respect, and this is the way of all believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All people who worship Allah, they must show utmost respect and dedication to their parents. And when he did this, then وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. All of them, all of the 11 brothers and all of the and the parents, then they fell into prostration in front of him. And he said, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. He said, oh my father, this is the interpretation, this is the actualization of the dream that I saw. Remember the dream that I saw 30, 40 years ago when I was a child? He said, my father, this is the interpretation of the dream. It is finally, قَدَ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ. My Lord has made it true. My Lord has made it real. The reality has now come. Now, here somebody might ask, how could the children of Ya'qub and Ya'qub prostrate to Yusuf. How could they prostrate to another human being? Is not prostration a right that is due to Allah alone? And the response is, well, it's not that simple. There are two types of prostrations, two types of sajdas. And there are also two types of bowing down, which we call ruku'. The first type is a prostration that is done for worship. This type of prostration has always been exclusive to Allah. Only Allah deserves to be prostrated to as an act of worship. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be shown that utmost reverence, that you lower your head, which is the most noble part of your body, down to the ground. And this was one of the ways of worship that all the prophets of Allah did, that they would lower the most noble part of their heads, which is their face, the most blessed part of their bodies, they lower it to the ground as a sign of respect to Allah. But the second type of prostration is a prostration of respect. That you did it to another person as a sign of respect to that person, as an indication that you thought that this person is worthy of respect and not worship. And this type of prostration was the type that the angels did to our father Adam. They prostrated to him as a token of respect, not as a token of worship. And this type of prostration was allowed in the previous nations and the previous cultures and the previous civilizations. Then when our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he forbade this prostration. And he said, I don't allow any human being to prostrate to another human being. And in fact, it is once narrated that one of the famous companions, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he entered into the mosque and he prostrated as a sign of respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh Mu'adh, what are you doing? Oh Mu'adh, what are you doing? Why are you prostrating to me? And so Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, Oh Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw when I went to Syria, when I went to Rome, I saw those people prostrating to their leaders and their priests and their religious clerics. And I felt that you have more right that somebody prostrate to you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I prohibit any human being from prostrating to another human being. And were I to have allowed this, I would have told the wife to prostrate to her husband, meaning the one of respect, to show the rights that he has over her. So this is a commandment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he forbade any type of prostration. But this is what he prohibited. And as you know, the legal rulings change from prophet to prophet, but the theology remains the same for all the prophets. So the legal rulings of what to eat and drink and wear and other transactions and legal things, they can change from one prophet to another. So the Sharia of the Prophet Ya'qub allowed prostration to humans for respect, not for worship. But our Sharia with the Prophet ﷺ has come, this is completely forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the sun and the moon are the creations of Allah. So don't prostrate to the sun and moon. Don't prostrate to them, but prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Yusuf alayhi salam shows respect to his father and mother, and then they, without him saying anything, they in return show respect to Yusuf alayhi salam, and all of them, they fall down in prostration, and Yusuf says, My dear father, this is the actualization of the dream. My Lord has made it true. After all of these years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is true. Whatever Allah says will happen, even if it happens after some time, the promise of Allah is never false. قَدَ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّى My Lord has indeed made it true and fulfilled His promise. We need to take a short break. As soon as we come back, we'll resume our story. Stay with us.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. So the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam tells his father after they prostrate to him, this is the interpretation of the dream that my Lord has made true. And then he goes on and he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ And he has been so generous to me, so kind to me when he has taken me out of the prison, وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ, and he has brought you out of the wilderness and the desert. Remember, the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam was not living in a civilization. He was living in the wilderness and desert. And the life was very harsh and very difficult and very tough for them. And that is why he wanted them to come into Egypt and live the life of a city dweller, live the life of ease. So he says, how gracious my Lord has been to me after he has taken me out of the prison. And he has brought you out of the desert. مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After shaitan caused some problems between me and my brothers. This is such a beautiful statement of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Notice here, you know, the average person, when he is afflicted with all of these things, he doesn't look at the good, he looks at the bad. And so imagine if somebody had been in Prophet Yusuf's place, it would not have been difficult to imagine him saying, look at all of the hassle I've gone through. I have been attempted to be murdered by my own brothers. I have been thrown into slavery. I have been kept in a prison cell for so many years. I have been humiliated. I have been this, I have been that. But no, all of this is ignored. All of this is glossed over, and he concentrates on the good. Yes, indeed, all those trials have happened, but also look at the bright side. What did Allah bless you with? What are the blessings? And when you look at the blessings, you notice that they are much, much, much more than any trials that you have undergone. And even those trials are blessings because Allah will reward you for them. Such is the nature, it tells the difference between a pious person and an impious person. A pious person appreciates the blessings of Allah, and an impious person takes these blessings for granted. Look at all of the blessings you have around you. It could be health, it could be wealth, it could be your very life, it could be your family and children. And don't concentrate on the bad, concentrate on the good. And this is what the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam does. Also notice, he doesn't mention the biggest issue that happened to him, and that is the fact that his brothers tried to kill him, or the brothers tried to destroy him. He doesn't mention that. He doesn't mention when Allah saved me from the well. He says when Allah saved me from the prison. Even though saving from the well was more important, because there he was alone, not provided for. Whereas in the prison, he is being provided for. Why does he not mention the well and he mentions the prison? Because to mention the well would cause some distress to his brothers. So he ignores it. As we said, the perfection of his character, to make sure that his brothers do not feel even the slightest bit hurt because of what they have done. He doesn't want to rub it in their face. He doesn't want to remind them of the sins that they have done. Look at the perfection of the character of Yusuf alayhi salam. Who can possibly be such a perfect character except the prophets of Allah? But at least we can try. At least we can take them as role models. When somebody does you a wrong, when somebody does you a sin, then try to remember the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Not only did he forgive, not only did he forget, he doesn't even mention the sins that his own brothers have done. And the Prophet Yusuf says, Inna Rabbi Latifun Lima Yasha. My Rabb is Latif. And Latif has two meanings to it. The first meaning of Latif is the one who is intimately aware of even the smallest details. So he is saying, Allah Azza wa Jal knew all along what's happening to me. He knows my feelings, He knows my emotions, He knows my state. So when Allah is Al-Latif, how can I possibly give up hope of good? I know that my Lord is aware of my situation. He knows my innermost thoughts, He knows my fears, He knows my status. So my Rabb is Latif to all that He pleases. And the second meaning of Latif is the one who is gentle. So by mentioning Allah as the one who is gentle, Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, of course Allah would save me. How could He allow me to die in the well? How could He allow me to rot in prison? My Rabb is Latif. My Rabb is gentle and loving to me. So Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we too should remember this attribute. Whenever we are faced with a difficult situation, we should think of Allah in the best terms. And as we think of Allah, so Allah azza wa jal will treat us. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is indeed Al-Alim and Al-Hakim. And we have talked about these two names many times before. It is of the most common combination of names in the Quran. Allah is knowledgeable of what He's doing. He knows exactly what's going on. And He is all wise. So He does what He does for a reason and purpose. You might not understand it. But Allah has a divine wisdom. So accept the decree of Allah and realize whatever happens, happens for the best. This is the attitude of the believer who puts his trust, who puts his trust in Allah. You put your trust in Allah and you realize, my Rabb is Alimun Hakim. My Rabb is all knowledgeable and all wise. He knows what's happening. And he is doing this for a wisdom. So instead of complaining, instead of getting angry, put your trust in Allah and resign your fate over to Allah. And what has happened, has happened. As for the future, of course we say, you must try your best to get to the means while you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam makes a powerful dua. A dua that comes from the heart. A dua that is of the most eloquent duas of the Qur'an. He says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. My Lord, you have given me all of this power, this kingdom. You have given me the power to have so much effect. He was not, of course, the king of Egypt, but he had so much power. In some ways, he was even more powerful than the king. Why? Because he controlled the sustenance of the people. He controlled their food at a time of drought. So in some ways, he was even more powerful than the king. So he says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. O my Lord, you have given me of this power and this kingdom. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. And you have taught me the interpretation of dreams, or the other meaning, you have taught me knowledge of the book. Both of these meanings can be applicable. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the one who originated the heavens and earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You and you alone are the one who protects me. You are my helper. You are my source of comfort in this world and the hereafter. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. Allow me to die as someone who submits to you. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And put me in the ranks of the righteous and the good people. So he begins this dua by mentioning the favors of Allah. And this is the etiquette of dua. Oh Allah, you have given me power and knowledge. And these are two of the greatest blessings of Allah. To be blessed with power and knowledge. Oh Allah, you have given me all of this status in the land. You have given me all of this prestige. And you have also given me so much knowledge. And Yusuf alayhi salam was one of the few prophet kings. There were some prophet kings. Rulers and prophets. And most of the prophets were not rulers. But of the few who were prophets and rulers was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam as well. And the Prophet Dawud and Sulaiman. And also the Prophet Yusuf. And there were others as well. They were prophets and they were rulers. So Yusuf alayhi salam thanks Allah and praises Allah. And he says, oh my Lord, you have given me the kingdom and knowledge. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you want to make a dua to Allah, the first thing that you do, you praise Allah. And you thank Him for what He has given you before you ask for what you want. So the first thing you do, you thank Allah for all the blessings that He has given you. And then you praise Him. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the one who originated all of the heavens and earth. How much power do you have? How much knowledge do you have? How much qudra do you have when the entire creation originates from you? The one who begins the creation of everything in the heavens and earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are the one who will give me what I want. You are my source of support and comfort. Wali means your intimate friend. Wali means your source of protection. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, you, the one who created the heavens and earth, will protect me. How can anybody harm me? You who have originated the creation, how can any part of the creation then harm me when you are the one who is my protector? And Allah says in the Quran, Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu. Allah is the friend and protector of those who believe. If you want Allah to be your wali, all you need to do is be righteous and pious. You turn to Allah, Allah will turn to you. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, you are my wali in this world and also in the hereafter. And he makes this dua straight from the heart. Tawaffani musliman. Cause me to die in the state of Islam. Why? Because what is the most important is your state at the end of your life. If a person lived his life as a sinner, but then repented and died as a righteous person, Allah will forgive all of the sins and look at the end state of affairs. Of course, the question arises, nobody knows when they will die. That's the whole point. So, when you don't know when you will die, you always have to strive to live a righteous and pious life. So Yusuf alayhi salam makes a dua to Allah. O Allah, cause me to die as a Muslim, as one submitting to you. And subhanAllah, you will say, how can a Prophet of Allah be doubting that he will die as a Muslim? And the response is, it is a part of Iman to be scared of falling into sin and evil. It is a part of Iman to be scared of leaving Iman. Even if there is no chance for the Prophets to leave Iman, still they are so scared of this danger that they make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, cause me to die as a Muslim. And we too should make this dua to Allah and say, oh Allah, make our last kalima la ilaha illallah and make us die in the state of Islam. This is the dua that is coming from a Prophet. Don't you think we need this dua even more? وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ and make me amongst the ranks of the righteous. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says, this is of the knowledge of the unseen that we inspire to you. And you were not there, Ya Rasulullah, when the brothers of Yusuf were plotting how to kill him or what to do with him. You weren't there. So how do you know? Who gave you this information? Allah gave it to you. In other words, the stories of the Quran are an indication of the miraculous nature of the Quran in that the Prophet ﷺ could not have known these stories. How did you know these stories living in the desert of Mecca? No books were there. There was no library there. There was not a Jewish or Christian civilization in the heart of Mecca that you know these stories. And of course, our stories are always different from the Jewish and Christian equivalents. They are much more pure and cleaner and of course more authentic. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, how did you know this? You didn't know it. You weren't there when they plotted and planned. I was the one who told it to you. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ And Allah says, and the majority of mankind will not believe, even if you are eager for it. So this thing shows us two things. Firstly, the eagerness of the Prophet ﷺ to guide them. He wants to help them. And in one verse, Allah says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ That Allah says, it is possible your grief will kill you. That's how much you are grieving, because they don't accept Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ was so eager, was so concerned, was so loving to guide them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you might even, this grief might even cause you harm. And the last verse that Allah Azza wa Jal says in this particular section we're saying, Allah says, and you're not even asking them for any return, for any remuneration, you're not asking for any rewards, rather all of this is only a reminder to all of the worlds. So this is the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is much to benefit from. There are still some verses left of the surah, and that will be the topic of discussion of our next episode. I hope to see you then. Until next time, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب
صلى عليك الله يا خير الورى تعدد حبات الرمال وأكثرا صلى عليك الله ما غيث هما فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى